Good morning. Today's scripture is Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible.
Walt Disney was a failure. He couldn't hold down a job. He doodled a lot, sketched this or that, and dreamed. Most of the time, those dreams took him down a rabbit hole of this or that, but eventually ended up getting him laid off or having to shut down whatever project it was he was working on. But that didn't stop him. He just kept sketching and just kept dreaming. Somehow he had faith that his life would be more than just dead-end roads and failed businesses. Despite the doors that repeatedly shut in his face. Yep, he was a Kansas City failure. But he was a failure with faith. Things seemed like they were finally coming together for old Walt after his success of Laugh-O-Grams, producing 6 modernized fairy tales and allowing Disney the opportunity to hire a couple other animators to grow his little business. He was working on a 12.5-minute live action and animation film called Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, but unfortunately he couldn't complete it before his Laugh-O-Gram studio went bankrupt. Poor Walt was left with a decision. Would he stay in Kansas City, where he'd already lost a handful of jobs and bankrupted his own company, head to New York City, which was the epicenter of the cartoon industry, or a third option, move to California, where his brother Roy was trying to recover from tuberculosis? With nothing in his pocket except his completed film, Disney made the least smart choice because he chose to go to California where his brother was, not where the industry was flourishing in New York. He managed a modicum of success with his Alice films. Building upon that, he created Oswald the Rabbit, a series to follow. Oswald did pretty well, but most of us have never actually heard of him, have you? It wasn't until Walt started sketching a mouse. He supposedly had befriended this mouse during his days in Kansas City, and things finally began to change. The world met a famous mouse, Mortimer. Mortimer Mouse, you remember him, right? Well, his new bride, Lillian, told Walt that Mortimer sounded a little too pompous and lobbied instead for the name Mickey. And, well, the mouse that would one day lead an empire was born. Everything changed with that little mouse. It's not to say that Disney would not fail again. He would, many times. But he never let failure stop him. It was this unwavering faith, an animated faith, that kept him following his dreams until his wishes came true. We began this series 3 years ago and named some of the real challenges with idealizing Walt Disney. He was no Jesus. Though, to tell you the truth, I have always wanted to write a book and call it The Kingdom Movements, and it would follow each of their visions and the failures of their followers. Someday, I say someday. But let's not deify Disney. While I was a Disney addict during my younger years, I became increasingly frustrated by the Disney empire and the mouse's capitalistic drive for more, more, more. As you know, I have been actively involved with hotel workers and their constant battle with the company. From worker struggles to the high cost of tickets that prohibit lower income families from attending, it feels like all that empire cares about is the dollar. It's easy to lose hope, and it's enough to make you hate the whole darn thing. And I may have hated Disney along the way, for sure, but I don't hate Disney anymore. Instead, like so many things, I have learned to live with the tension and look for the magic. There's still something magical there, something that touches my heart and so often brings a tear to my eye. Something incredible happened when Mickey Mouse jumped off the sketch pad and whistled his way onto the silver screen. After all, if you think theologically about this, which is exactly what we decided to do in the summer of 2017, we recognize that God has a way of working with the imperfect. And it is in those imperfections that God is able to use them for redemption. God is the great redeemer after all. God's in the business of transformation. And so if we were to look at nearly all of the Disney films, we see transformation is key. Nearly every single one deals with identity, a discovery of who the protagonist is and how he or she is called to be something more. Or perhaps simply to accept themselves for who they are, imperfections and all. We looked at several films and found that God is still speaking to us, inviting us to animate our faith by thinking theologically in our daily lives and most certainly within those Disney films. Whether it was The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the one film that intentionally engaged our faith and Christianity in particular by asking, who is the monster and who is the man? In a parable similar to that of the Good Samaritan, played out in Paris in the 15th century. Now, like almost all Disney films, the stories have origins elsewhere. This one, of course, is in Victor Hugo's book. But Disney managed to keep the story alive, animating it and teaching a very core Christian principle in recognizing Jesus among us. We couldn't help but hear Jesus ask that very question. Who among these were the faithful? Which one is the monster? And then I absolutely loved our reflection on Pinocchio. It challenged us to think about the nature of God and really put our theological thinking caps on. See, it's so easy for us to think about God as the master puppeteer, right? The one that pulls our strings to dance and sing and jump, to live or die on command. And yet, when we embrace an animated faith and think theologically about this film, we can learn a lesson and, in fact, even see a different version and perspective on God, the creator. Because Geppetto, the creator, that woodworker, creates this puppet and desires nothing more for his creation, Pinocchio, to be real. He doesn't want to pull the strings. He wants Pinocchio to be a real boy. But to do that, he has to learn how to love, how to sacrifice for another, to listen to his conscience, and sometimes do the very hard things. And choose the hard stuff over self-pleasing one's own desire. It's listening, and it's about being intentional. It's making hard choices, and eventually there is liberation to being unattached. But to be real, we have to recognize that it's not just about living without strings, it's about living interconnected. No, we are not pulled by the strings of a master creator, but our own heart strings. As we recognize this interconnection with one another, and then, and only then, will we be real. Isn't that what our creator wants most? Well, then, we carried that theme of God as parent as we examined the film Finding Nemo. And the way Nemo's dad, Marlin, takes off on an adventurous journey across the ocean to find him. It was just like the Lucan parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. You know that one, and called by a different name, the prodigal son. Marlin will not rest until he finds his son, until they are reunited. And once they are, he isn't mad. He doesn't yell at his son for doing something so stupid and rebellious. Instead, he is like the father in the parable. He runs to him, well, he swims to him, embraces him and forgives him for any wrongdoing, eagerly rejoicing that his lost son was found. This is the kind of God we have. One that is like an ever-loving, forgiving, generous, and exuberant parent who wishes nothing more than our well-being and our safety. Even when we screw up and do stupid, thoughtless, selfish things, God still loves us. God still seeks us out. And God will forgive us and celebrate. Well, then we continued a similar theme of God as parent when we looked at the Lion King. And we embraced the circle of life and all the divine that is in it. I don't know about you, but when I watch that film, I feel the mystical connection to creation. I remember going to South Africa and singing the circle of life as I was surrounded by these incredible, majestic beings. I felt the mysticism among me, and this was truly a sacred film. I think about wise Rafiki's whispered wisdom when he says, "He lives in you." And the theological implications here are so obvious. Just as Mufasa dies, he lives in Simba. So too do we recognize resurrection. We who try so hard to understand it can look at this film and see it embodied in the story of these lions. The resurrection miracle is that death cannot overcome. He lives in us. Each of us has that spark of divinity. All we need to do is search our souls, look within, and listen. Follow the way, and we will know He lives in us. Well, in my house, Elsa reigns. Molly was singing Let It Go before she could really even talk, and it seems that her brother has followed in her footsteps. When we looked at Disney's instant classic Frozen, we found comfort in recognizing that there is power in letting go. Now, for someone like me who likes the order of things, it's a scary thing sometimes to let go of everything we know, keeping ourselves in this perfect little place. Yet God is in the liberation. When we trust and let go, as Elsa did, of those expectations placed upon us by others, she embraced who she was, as we can too. To let go of her past, she freed herself from hiding in the ways that she had confined herself to those castle walls. Perhaps we, like her, end up more empowered than we had before when we liberate ourselves. Something about that self-liberation is so powerful. Now, ultimately, she realizes that there's balance. She cannot simply go away and leave completely untied. She did let go of ego. She let go of societal expectations. She allowed herself to embrace herself and love who she really was. But it wasn't only about her. That is so important. She finally let the ice melt a little and allowed herself to be loved, too. Loved by her sister. And it was this love that ultimately saved the day. Love will save the day. Kind of like Jesus, huh? Love yourself. Love each other. Yeah. We went deep into the 100-acre wood and met up with Winnie the Pooh and his friends, Eeyore, Tigger, Rabbit, Kanga, Roo, Little Piglet and Owl, and of course, Christopher Robin. In our reflection, we saw insight from the Tao of Pooh. You know, here at Fairview, we believe that we can learn from many religions, and so we were influenced by Taoism here, but we also tapped into our own Christian tradition as we reflected upon the Gospel of Pooh, which reminds us that we are called to care for everyone in our neighborhood. The quirky and the quacky, the ones who are annoying or needy, and sometimes the hurting and oppressed. We were reminded that our unique Christian creed is love, and that this is the commandment that our God gives us, to love with all of our hearts and our minds, and also to love our neighbors as ourselves. And what better place to learn about love of neighbor than the Hundred Acre Wood, with that chubby little cubby old bear, Winnie the Pooh. One of my favorite theological reflections that summer came from the movie Tangled and the heroine Rapunzel's liberation from beyond the confines of her tower and the hold that her mother, Gothel, had upon her. She's the girl with the long golden hair. You'll remember her from those long-time fairy tales. And her hair seems to possess these magical powers. She learns that there is life beyond the tower, that the world is not a scary place and it's not out to get her. She breaks free from the confines of her mother's manipulations because she is drawn to the light. And once she finds the light, she is transformed, so much so that she learns the ultimate truth. The light is in her. The light is in us. And it's up to us to carry that light and heal the hurt among us. Who knew we could learn so much from cartoons? And yet, isn't it miraculous, really, that God can continue to speak to us through so many mediums? Through the art of song and visual beauty, God speaks to us, challenging us and calls us out. When we take time to listen, to reflect, to look deeply with eyes that see and ears that hear, we recognize that God really is everywhere. We're called to think theologically, not only when we're in church, but in everything we do in life. That's what it means to have an animated faith. So we have a debt of gratitude to old Walt Disney, his early failures, and his unfailing faith, which animated hope and a mouse that changed the world, inviting us to embrace the magic. May you continue to animate your faith, to embrace your imagination, to think critically and creatively, and to find God in all things. Amen. We ended every service that summer of 2017 with the Disney classic that I personalized for Fairview. So will you join me now, embracing the magic, animating your faith, and singing out, "When You Wish Upon a Star."
True, fate is come.
When you animate your faith, God lives in you. So brothers and sisters, children of God, go out into a world in all of its brokenness and all of its pain and see the creative spirit among us, calling us to see with eyes afresh and hear the music divine, to embrace the joy of our lives and animate our ancient faith as we seek to learn, to grow, to live, and to love with the Spirit among us. Amen.